From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Good morning to you. I'm John Hingsbergen, and this week, another summertime program attempting to focus on a topic that is important, but also somewhat lighthearted and hopefully having a little bit of fun with our listeners this morning. We're talking about the Kentucky's great outdoors, and your input is going to be just as important as that of our guests. We have some guests representing some of the fascinating facilities that are available in Kentucky, but we want to hear from you, your experiences of Kentucky's great outdoors. Of course, it's July, the middle of the summer. People are involved in a lot of outdoor activities, but things happen across the Commonwealth of Kentucky year-round, and we want to know what you enjoy most. What are the places that you have enjoyed going to? And when you stay home for a staycation, why do you do that rather than travel off to someplace else? We're interested in hearing from you by email. Write to us at wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can send us a tweet. You probably need to follow us first at wekuest. Then you can send us a direct message or post on our Facebook page. And, of course, one way to do this, since this is radio, is by calling 800-621-8890. We'd love to hear your voice and interact with you during today's program. 800-621-8890. Go ahead and call. Julie Tennell is standing by, ready to take your phone call now. And we'll be glad to hear from you at 800-621-8890. So let's get down to business here and introduce our guests. With us in the studio today are Kimberly Morgan, Public Affairs Specialist for the Daniel Boone National Forest. Kimberly, having been with the forest for, you said, close to 25 years.
Close to 25 years now.
Excellent. Kimberly, thank you for making the trip in to be part of our program today.
Thank you.
With us also in the studio are Mark Evans and Hugh Archer, and they're veterans of Eastern Standard. They were here a few months ago on another topic, but they both represent the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust. Mark is a board member of the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust, is also an ecologist.
That's right.
And you did that as a full-time career for a while?
Yeah, I was the ecologist for the State Nature Preserves Commission for almost 30 years, till just recently.
And again, you guys spent a lot of your time outdoors, I guess.
I think I know Kentucky fairly well by now.
Excellent. Mark, that you've been to all the Kentucky counties?
Yes, I've been to every county in Kentucky. I always like to ask Kentuckians, how many counties do we have? Because a lot of people aren't sure, but we have 120 counties. Yeah, and I've been lucky enough to have visited all of them.
So Mark is a valuable resource if you're interested about wanting to discuss something that no one else here may know about. Hugh Archer is Executive Director of the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust, and Hugh also represents the Heritage Conservation Fund Board. Hugh, tell me, let's start off by just talking about the difference between the Heritage Conservation Fund Board and the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust.
Well, the Land Trust is one of several in Kentucky. We have a Land Trust Coalition. Most are not statewide like ours. And we've had focus areas to reassemble large forest blocks, work with five state agencies and the federal agencies, Fish and Wildlife, et cetera. So that's wild rivers, forestry, nature reserves, parks, and Fish and Wildlife. So the Heritage Board distributes funds to those five agencies, and the Land Trust tries to buy land and clean it up, fit those missions, and roll it over to those agencies and help them expand their ownership. And when we can't do that, we own it. But we're trying to build migratory corridors and large forest blocks. Put Humpty Dumpty together again.
So big chunks of land that can be reserved for the kinds of activities we're talking about here.
And our first and best focus was Blanton Forest, the largest uncut track left in Kentucky on Pine Mountain. And since then, we've been trying to do the whole mountain, which is 150 miles of
Is some of that mountain
through five counties.
Is that currently private property, some of it? Or?
We own quite a few pieces, but I'd say over half of it's still privately owned in tracts, and those are our goals over the next few years to make a complete. There are only six roads cutting it, so it's a pretty much the second largest forest block remaining in the state.
In a few minutes, we're going to also introduce and actually begin speaking with Lizzie Watts, acting superintendent of Mammoth Cave. So we'll get to her as well. But on our show today, as you can hear, we have representation of kind of an amalgam of the great outdoors of Kentucky, represented by the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust, and also, of course, the Daniel Boone National Forest and Mammoth Cave, the two ladies representing the federal facilities, really, that are actually U.S. Forest facilities. And actually, Kimberly, let's talk about it. The Daniel Boone National Forest. Is that a park? Is it? I mean, how does it actually designated in terms of the type of facility?
The Forest Service is not a national park. We manage the lands differently from national park. The Forest Service is part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Daniel Boone National Forest is one of 155 national forests across North America, including Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands. So the agency manages national forest and grasslands. The thing that makes us different from a national park is the fact that we do manage the natural resources for use. We do manage for timber and water and wildlife. We also manage for recreation. We have more than a million visitors come to the forest each year. And we're quite spread out across 21 counties of eastern Kentucky. So the Daniel Boone starts up in Rowan County, just north of Cave Run Lake, and runs all the way down to the Tennessee border. So inside that area, we are certainly interspersed with state and private land, but we have more than 100 developed recreation areas that we manage for public use, and we also have more than 600 miles of trail for multiple use as well.
Is there camping? Are there lodges? Are there restaurants and swimming pools?
We don't manage any lodges or restaurants. We manage strictly for outdoor recreation. So we do have a lot of campgrounds. Some of the more developed sites are up around Cave Run Lake and Laurel River Lake. Those are the more developed campgrounds that we have. But we also have a lot of picnic areas, some shooting ranges as well for target practice for those who enjoy that. But we're widespread and we have a lot of people come to the forest for camping and hiking and boating and fishing. Anything you want to do outdoors, you can pretty much find it in the Daniel Boone National Forest.
And when people come to the forest, is there a fee? Do they need to have a membership or a sticker that they put on their vehicle that identifies them as authorized to use the facilities? Do you know who comes and goes from the forest?
If you camp in the forest in the developed areas, a camping fee is required for that. And then if you use the public boat ramps around the lakes, a fee pass is required for that. And you can purchase those by day. We sell a 1-day, 3-day, and then an annual permit for those who frequent the boat ramps often, you know. And but for the most part, you know, if you just want to spend a day out in the forest, there's no fee for that.
It's our forest, right?
It is.
It's owned by the people of the United States.
It is, absolutely.
Fascinating, and of course, a very important, can't even call it a facility, aspect of the natural outdoors environment of Kentucky. I pulled up a map here. It was sent a copy of the map, and the Daniel Boone Forest uses a big, giant green space in major portions, as you were describing. How many people actually, how many people use the National Forest?
We've estimated 1.2 million visitors a year, and a lot of those visitors come to some of the recreational hotspots, such as Laurel River Lake, Cave Run Lake. Red River Gorge is highly visited. We have people come from all over the world there to rock climb and for hiking and camping.
Interesting. And Mark and Hugh, both associated with the Natural Lands Trust, the National Forest facility of the Daniel Boone is separate from the lands that you're working with at this point.
Although we do buy land when the Forest Service doesn't get any money and hold it for transfer, we're trying to fill a lot of the in-holdings, help them form large management blocks, especially when those in-holdings have wood rats or a rear salamander or bat cave. So we just are working to transfer the largest school of black-side dace, a federal species, along Rock Creek in McCreary County back to the Daniel Boone for management. So, yeah, we work with them, and they need to fill in the holes. And in spite of the president's current efforts, land and water funds have not ever made it through this year, and that's what they have to use to fill those in-holdings. The Daniel Boone's only, the big green block on the map's not all full. It's Swiss cheese still, and we have to work to fill it.
Yes, we are intermingled with a lot of state and private land. So when you look at a map of Kentucky, you see that green space that says Daniel Boone National Forest, but that's the proclamation boundary, which is, it's around 1.5 million acres, but that proclamation boundary just means that the Forest Service can acquire federal lands inside that boundary, but inside of that, we only manage just over 708,000 acres within those 21 counties.
So when you're driving on the interstate, for instance, and the sign says you're entering the Daniel Boone National Forest, you're within that boundary, but of course you're on the highway.
Right. And you may drive in and out of the forest several times.
Okay, that's interesting. And what we want to do is invite our listeners to tell us about your experience of the Daniel Boone National Forest or any other places that you have visited, that you regularly visit in Kentucky, or maybe you're thinking about visiting. Where do you vacation? Where do you camp? Where do you hunt? And what's so special about Kentucky? And as a resident of Kentucky, what makes you proud about having all this natural beauty and these natural resources in Kentucky? As I mentioned, we will talk to Lizzie Watts of Mammoth Cave in just a few moments, but we want to hear from you. We'd like to interact with you about maybe stories you may have of good times that you have had in these facilities. How do you think things are going in terms of the management of these lands and the effort made by gentlemen such as Mark and Hugh with the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust? Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Go to our Facebook page and post a note. I don't know if we have a post up yet about today's program. If not, we will have one in place later today, and that will be in place over the weekend. We encourage people to continually interact with us as part of the topics to discuss the topics that we bring up on this program. We're going to take a short break right now. I'm going to ask you to feel free to pick up the phone and call and tell your story. 800-621-8890 is the number. We'll be glad to get you on the air. 800-621-8890. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen, and our guests today joining us to discuss the Great Kentucky Outdoors, and we're interested in hearing from you, your stories of experiencing the great outdoors in Kentucky. 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. You can send us a tweet as well. Joining us now, as promised, is Lizzie Watts, and Lizzie is acting superintendent of Mammoth Cave. Lizzie, thank you for being with us on the phone from Mammoth Cave.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning.
You have been acting superintendent for how long?
For about 3 weeks.
Okay, very good. But have you been at Mammoth Cave for some time prior to that, or what? Tell me about your history and your involvement in working with National
Park Service.
So Mammoth Cave is likewise a Park Service facility.
It is. Actually, Mammoth Cave is one of the five national park areas in Kentucky. We have over 400 national park sites throughout the United States, and our mission is a little different, as she was saying, than the Forest Service is, because our mission is to preserve and protect all natural and cultural resources for future generations. And with that mission, each park is a little different. Everyone has some nationally significant resource. It is either the most, the biggest, the best, the most unique, or the ones that tell our American history. Presidential sites, national seashores, Yellowstone National Park, Everglades. So they all vary in different resources, but they are the resources that make America the most unique and great country in the world that it is today, and also those special places that we want to preserve to make sure 100 years from now still exist. Those are ecosystems and biospheres. And I have been with the National Park Service for many years. I won't tell you how many anymore. And I technically am usually superintendent of Andrew Johnson National Historic Site and National Cemetery, which is an active national cemetery in Greenville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But I am sitting in for Sarah, who is normally the superintendent here at Mammoth Cave, who is down in Atlanta. Mammoth Cave is one of the largest of the national parks in Kentucky. It is over 52,000 acres, and it's really a unique resource because it's two types of parks. It's 52,000 acres of reclaimed hardwood forest and winding rivers, and then below it, including the Green River up on top, but then below it, it has the largest known cave system in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Over 400 miles at this point that we know of caves.
That we know? There's unexplored territory down there?
There is. And we actually have a partnership with some of the best cavers in the world that and researchers that actually, one of their functions is to come in and actually map parts of sections of the cave that nobody's seen since the Native Americans were there. So it's pretty amazing research that they do every year. It's slow, it's meticulous, and it's fairly dangerous. It's in parts of the area where nobody's ever been, so you don't really know what you're in for. Mammoth Cave has been touring, people have been touring Mammoth Cave for over 100 years. The Park Service has, since 1941, when it was established as a national park, has developed over 20 tours. So if you want to learn something about that unique environment of the cave system, which is one of the most unique truly in the world, the summertime's the best time to come. We have visitation is way up every summer when it's 90 degrees in the rest of Kentucky. In the cave, it's in the 50s.
Wow.
So it's a nice temperature change.
Is it about the same in February, I guess, when it's 10 below outside?
It is, which is really pretty unique if you think about it. We have a huge bat population that call it home. We have many other, several other rare and endangered species that consider the cave or the Green River their ecosystem. The Green River has one of the more rare and endangered mussels and one of the largest mussels habitats in the world. The upland area, what we call that Mammoth Cave, that's everything above the cave, is a pretty diverse for plant lovers or botanists. It's a very diverse ecosystem, both in mammals as well as in the plant side. The park really is known for many things, but we have hiking trails, biking trails, just opened a new mountain bike trail this spring that's 9 miles. It's going to be tying into another one that adds it to about 13 miles. We have horse trails, camping, fishing, boating. So if you're an outdoorsman or someone who just likes to take a leisurely hike, they can go to Mammoth Cave or one of the other four national park areas and get a wonderful experience. Some of those, the other national park areas that we have in Kentucky are Big South Fork National River and Recreation Area, and it gets over 500,000 visitors a year. Abraham Lincoln Birthplace National Historical Park, which, if you've never been, really is a wonderful historic site that tells you about the story of Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president. But it also shares the story of American history with the Civil War and the change in the Civil War and what happened to us because of the Civil War as a nation.
Mm-hmm. Lizzie, let me just interrupt you for a second. You're talking about Mammoth Cave. How many visitors actually come to Mammoth Cave in the course of an average year?
About 400,000.
400,000. I'm surprised it's not, 10 million, given the popularity and its worldwide reputation. Why I mean, are there efforts to promote, for instance, to encourage and invite people to come to Mammoth Cave? Or, and we'll ask Kimberly as well, for instance, to the Daniel Boone Forest. How do you let people, across the world and the other side of the planet know about your facilities?
Well, there are a couple ways. Actually, there are many ways. But one is doing what we're doing today with a radio interview. But also, the federal government doesn't spend much money at all. We're not really allowed to advertise, so to speak. So marketing can be a challenge. But we market through partners, and we have many, many partners that are willing to help us market. But also, we have websites. Every park has their own website. Every park has their own Facebook. So if you like, with the new technologies, you can like us on Facebook and learn about the programs that we do, the times they are, what else is happening. And we are very fortunate in the National Park Service that besides our own websites that we have, the National Park Service has its own and each park does, is that we have tremendous partners that actually help us advertise and share the research, the resources, and the recreational opportunities that are available in our national parks.
Kimberly, Hugh Archer.
Putting on the Heritage Conservation Fund Board hat, we just approved a purchase through with Western as a partnership on your boundary, the deepest karst window. It's like, we only know 8 miles of that cave, but it probably will connect up to the bigger thing.
We've watched the deepest karst window.
You've got to go down like 120 feet to get to the floor to start, and under an area that floods. But so caving is an exciting. We've got over 3,100 caves in Kentucky, and it's a big draw for the spelunkers and the national. But Heritage Fund helped buy the Boyhood Home for Lincoln, and we helped with several other cave acquisitions in the area that are connecting now to Mammoth Cave, extending its size.
For those who don't know, if you want to go to one of the caves, such as Mammoth Cave, is it the experience such that virtually anyone can have that kind of experience? Like someone who has, maybe someone with limited mobility can go in a wheelchair and get into one of the facilities, versus someone who might rappel down into that 120-foot hole.
Sure. There is. Mammoth Cave, as well as some of the other caves, actually have combinations of the historic tour that we do and one of the other tours. 120 people at a time can go in. It's wide. It's open. The caves were worked and active for saltpeter for 25 years historically, 100 years ago. So some of the caves are very wide and very open, some parts, some entrances. So any level. On our website, you'll learn that we have, of the 20 tours, some are easy, so anybody can use them. Some are more moderate, which means they might get a little tighter and a little more curvy, where you have to move around a little bit differently. Some are considered harder, more difficult, because you're getting in much tighter places. You have to move a lot differently, stretch your body in different. So it really, for anybody, it really just depends on the fact that you can walk a little bit, or one of our trails that is now going to be easily accessible even for wheelchairs. So we're doing fixing our elevator right now so that everybody can get the experience of being down in the cave.
Anybody in our listening audience, have you been to Mammoth Cave? Have you been to the Daniel Boone National Forest? What facilities, what outdoor recreation have you enjoyed in Kentucky? We're interested in your stories in this midsummer program on Eastern Standard. Send us an email with a question, a comment, or a story, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Or give us a call, 800-621-8890. We'd love to hear from you during today's program, 800-621-8890. Was it Mark or Hugh had a comment?
Well, I just wanted to mention something since you were talking about the Mammoth Cave National Park. The Green River is, as she mentioned, an amazing resource that flows through that part of our state, and it's underused. My son just came back from a weekend camping trip and canoeing, and it's amazing, and I would encourage everyone in Kentucky to go. And
because of its wild river designation, that's another area that the Heritage Board has helped fund
is it
additional
is it,
acquisitions.
Is that river really green?
Actually, it's a very, very clean river, but sometimes it does look greenish in color.
And the blind cage shrimp are listed as a federally endangered species.
It's spring-fed, all sorts of freshwater springs feed, and it's wonderful. And, you know, going back real quick to the Daniel Boone, I've been going there for 30, 40 years, and I've had some of my most wonderful outdoor experiences in the Daniel Boone National Forest. It's an amazing resource. But we didn't touch upon Pine Mountain, and I want to just mention, you could spend your whole vacation just on Pine Mountain in Kentucky. You can start at Brakes Interstate Park in the north end at the Virginia border, which is the deepest canyon in the eastern United States, like 1,600-foot deep canyon. The Russell Fork flows through it. You can whitewater raft. And then you can continue down the mountain, and there's a whole series of state parks and nature preserves and state forest lands and wildlife management areas. And you've got the Pine Mountain Trail, which is a hiking trail that's going to run the entire length of Pine Mountain. You also have the Little Shepherd Trail. For those people that might not want to hike for 20 or 30 or 100 miles, you can drive a part of the Pine Mountain Little Shepherd Trail. It's on the very top of Pine Mountain, and it's gorgeous, and it's hardly ever utilized. And you can stop at all these public lands and hike. One of the most beautiful waterfalls at Bad Branch Nature Preserve in Letcher County. You can spend days right there by itself, all the way to the south end of the mountain, where we have an area called South America. And we have the Archer Bend Nature Preserve there now, which is a vast tract of wild lands with a beautiful river flowing through it. There's so many opportunities just on Pine Mountain alone. And we didn't even talk about Western Kentucky and the Cypress Swamps and all the other many other public facilities, lands in Kentucky.
And again, I'll put out the shout out to our listeners. Call us and talk about your favorite outdoor locations, camping spots, forests, rivers, lakes. There's a big lake I hear called Lake Cumberland that a lot of people like to use. The caves. Who's been to the caves? Let us know your stories. We'd like to hear from you about what do you tell family and friends from out of state when they are thinking of coming to Kentucky about where they should go. 800-621-8890. Send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Now, this is a little more of a serious question that came from Ray by email. Can the National Park and the National Forest Service, I guess, work with beekeepers to facilitate forest-raised bees? Because bees, of course, are on the minds of a lot of people these days. There are issues with the bee population. Are the parks and the forests working together?
I don't know of any permit that we have dealing specifically with beekeepers, but, you know, I think that would certainly be something that we would consider.
It is happening. The extension programs mostly promoting it in other private grants, and they're putting bees in the coal fields as part of the reclamation process.
It's not like you can't just drive in and set up your hives?
Hives.
The boxes, the things that the bees are in.
I'm a beekeeper. It's getting tougher with all the exotics, the mites and the viruses. But Kentucky State University and others are doing really good national research, and we're queening bees here in Kentucky for other
areas. But we're also finding out, though, that we have to rely more and more on our native bee species, right, that they become very important.
Honeybees
aren't
native.
Honeybee population is crashing, we're realizing the value of our native bees, which we've ignored.
Well, when Ray raises this question about forest-raised bees, is there something special about forest-raised bees versus, you know, those that raised elsewhere?
No, I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to on the forest raised bees.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Well, Lizzie, okay. And I'll remind you who our guests are. We have Lizzie Watts from Mammoth Cave. We have Kimberly Morgan from Daniel Boone National Forest. Mark Evans with Kentucky Natural Lands Trust. Hugh Archer also with the Lands Trust and representing the Heritage Conservation Fund Board. Your questions, your comments, your stories. We're really interested in your stories. We're hoping to hear some fascinating stories about the good times that you have had in Kentucky's great outdoors. 800-621-8890. is our phone number. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter as well, at WEKUEST. Okay, all these visitors, we've got these, just very quickly, I'm going to get this substantive question in here about the impact on the economy. How does all of this, the 1.2 million visitors to, did we say that was to your forest, Kimberly, or just Red River Gorge?
That's across the entire forest.
So 1.2 million there, 400,000 people come into Mammoth Cave every year. What does this do for Kentucky, for every one of us?
I looked it up this morning because of the program. The Outdoor Industry Association's new stats are interesting. $8.4 billion in spending on travel and tourism in Kentucky last year, 105,000 direct jobs, and $2.5 billion in wages. And the last one, the state taxes are over $550 million in tax revenue. So it's critical. I just wanted to mention, big draw in Kentucky that brings in a lot of these dollars are the reservoirs. The Army Corps owns more land than people might suspect. The largest natural lake takes us back to Ballard County with Swan Pond, which the Nature Conservancy bought years ago for the fish and wildlife. But 90,000 miles of streams in Kentucky, and wow, many are navigable. Things like the Rock Castle River are unequaled as a whitewater experience. The Leviza Fork, only for pros, that Mark mentioned earlier, running down through Brakes Interstate Park. The Elkhorn Creek, one of the best places right here in central Kentucky, one of the best places to come learn to paddle a kayak in class one and two water in the country. So a whole lot of paddlers, I think, in our future.
We have another segment, another 20 minutes or so of this week's Eastern Standard. We're going to take another short break as we encourage and invite you to get on board. Got a question talking about the economy, the economic impact, these 105,000 direct jobs from the outdoor activities in Kentucky, and the $8.4 billion people spend in Kentucky. Oh, your personal stories about what you've experienced in Kentucky's great outdoors. 800-621-8890, WEKU Eastern Standard@gmail.com. That number again, 800-621-8890. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen with our guests talking about Kentucky's great outdoors. What a great time to be talking about it here in the middle of July, and extremely mild weather on this Thursday morning as we discuss it, which I am sure is welcomed by many people, maybe not those who want to get out and swim, but for the most part, it makes enjoying the outdoors even more pleasant than it would normally be if it were hot and steamy. We have Mark Evans of Kentucky Natural Lands Trust. We have Hugh Archer representing the Lands Trust as well as the Heritage Conservation Fund. We have Kimberly Morgan of Daniel Boone National Forest and Lizzie Watts of the Acting Superintendent of Mammoth Cave with us. Your questions, your comments, your stories invited for the remaining portion of today's Eastern Standard. WEKU Eastern Standard@gmail.com. That phone number again, 800-621-8890. And Hugh Archer, you were telling me, telling us about the economic impact of the money brought into Kentucky, the jobs that are supported by all this outdoor activity. And I guess this spreads across the federal and the state facilities and other, probably the spinoff in terms of providing services and feeding and selling products to people who come to Kentucky. But you say Kentucky is not doing as well as some of the surrounding states?
Where we might be approaching $9 billion in tourist travel spending, Virginia's $14 billion. North Carolina's $20 billion.
They have beaches.
Yeah, they do have. But even the cornfields of Ohio with their little bit of frontage on the lake is $17 billion. We can do better. And Kentucky owns less of its own state for public land purposes by the state ownership of the five managing agencies than any other state in the Southeast, with less than 5% of the state. We have not kept up 90, with 90 plus percent private still. We have not really reassembled the large blocks that are going to keep the water clean into the future, that are going to maintain the diversity of forest.
What's different about Kentucky in terms of that land, that property ownership? I mean, is some of it owned by coal mine companies?
But that's not really the issue. It's an attitude. It's a private property rights approach that we've had in Kentucky, and it came probably from the 100-acre tobacco farms and the land ownership patterns that we've had, and all the tiny little counties. We haven't ever been real good about landscape-level land use planning in the state, and that's the kind of thing we're promoting through local land trusts and through our work in partnership with state and federal management agencies.
Let's get some listeners involved in our conversation. We have on the line Tammy from Hazard, who has called in, and Tammy has a story about her last visit to Mammoth Cave. Thanks, Tammy, for being with us. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate the show that you're having, because we do need to promote the things that Kentucky has. That I was saying, I'd been to almost all the places that you had mentioned on your show, and we've hiked, we've trailed. Sometimes I just go and sit while everybody else does their own thing. But we recently just came back from Mammoth Cave, which was my second time, my son's third time, and he's 19, and so he and his friends are science buffs, and I almost forgot where I was. I almost forgot I was in Kentucky. You know, we just did a weekend trip. You know, it's 2 hours from, or 3 hours from our home. And it was amazing, the cleanliness and the beauty of it. And even the Green River does look green. But it was just awesome. And I just wanted to let you know that we appreciate everything that we have here in Kentucky. And I think we've made a challenge. We've challenged our friends and things that we're going to, it's our challenge to get out and visit all the national parks. And just see what's happening. And Bath Branch Falls, it's great. We did that a couple of weekends ago, and it wore me out, but it was awesome.
That's great.
And Lizzie Watts, this is one of your visitors to Mammoth Cave. Have any questions for her, or maybe your customer service information you'd like to know from Tammy?
No, everything. I mean, from the restaurants to the restrooms, everything was immaculate. I can't praise it enough. I mean, even the driving trails, just everything. It was just well organized and just great. And the prices are good.
Well, we appreciate that more, and they belong to you. I mean, one of the things about national parks and national forests and even state lands, I mean, they really are y'all's legacy and your heritage. And so to hear from y'all that y'all came and had a fabulous time, I will make sure the staff knows it'll mean a lot to them. And it means a lot to us, because it takes all of us, the land trust and the Heritage Conservation Board and the state parks and the national forests and national parks, working together to ensure that we get to keep this land and that we do have places that you can do. I do what you do. I go and sit by the river and just enjoy the peace and quiet and the natural environment, the deer, the turkey. So thank you for sharing your story. It's wonderful to hear, and I will definitely share it with the staff.
All right, Tammy, thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for being part of our program. This is Eastern Standard at WEKU, 800-621-8890. Let's go ahead and talk to another caller while we are talking to listeners. Monica is on the line. Thank you, Monica, for being with us. Tell us about your question, your story.
Hi. I just wanted to ask if there was a comprehensive resource that you can pick up and look through the book and find all these wonderful places you're talking about, because I'm sitting here trying to write everything down and I can't keep up.
And
it would be great if there was like a national, state, and local resource that you could access. I know you can pick things up at different visitor centers and stuff, a lot of pamphlets and information. And we were just out to Cave Run Lake for the first time. We lived here for 30 years, and someone told me about it, and I was just so impressed with the – we stopped at the ranger station in that area, and they were so helpful. And I heard someone else talking about how clean and well-run the facilities were, and it was like we forgot where we were. Like we were getting away, and we only had to drive a little over an hour to get there. So it would just be wonderful if there was a comprehensive resource or book. I know I can look online, but, you know, you have to kind of know what you're looking for.
Oh, if you look online nowadays, you could get so many listings and I have no idea where to go next.
Right, exactly. You know, like I've just recently heard about Lily Cornett Woods, and, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, now where does that fall in all this? And I think it would be wonderful to have a comprehensive book on Kentucky so that people here in Kentucky can take advantage of all this wonderful stuff, and also have people from, you know, across the states and world have access to that.
Monica,
so, anyhow,
great,
that's my question.
Great question, and we will toss that out to our guests as well as maybe other listeners who may have answers of resources that have been helpful to them. Really is an interesting topic of how do you make these decisions. Is it something you sit around the table with the family and discuss? You hear something from word of mouth, a neighbor who's been someplace. Do you respond to a TV ad or a public service announcement or something that you've seen that actually gets you to a given facility?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, there's not one source that I know of. This is Hugh. But Tom Barnes last month published a new book with all the heritage projects in it, a beautiful photography book with a rundown and how to find each one of them.
And Tom Barnes is who?
He's in the Extension Forestry Program at the University of Kentucky, one of the best photographers in the state. Just marvelous. He's done books on waterfalls and wildflower gardens and natural areas, on and on. The Nature Preserves Commission did a wonderful book on the natural heritage of Kentucky, which can act as a core guide to find out the areas you want to go to and the kinds of things. There's 700 rare species in Kentucky, and if you want to go to Lily Woods, that's kind of where you would find that kind of thing.
Well, I'll say something. This is Mark real quick. Yeah. There are a couple of guidebooks to hiking trails
tourism
across the state,
south.
And that will lead you to most of these different public mm-hmm. lands that have hiking trails. So at the bookstore, you can get a variety of different mm-hmm. guides to areas, parks. There's a guide to the parks.
Whitewater.
Whitewater, yeah.
Red River Gorge.
Maybe focusing on your interest, if it's whitewater rafting or if you're biking or within your interest, there would be resources perhaps.
Right. Yeah, and the only other option I could think of would be to go to the agency websites mm-hmm. that you would have to know. You know, if you were wanting to go to a state park, you would go to Kentucky State Parks website.
Yeah, we have 50-plus nationally famous resort parks in Kentucky that they do a pretty good job of advertising both on the Internet and in publications from the tourism.
One of our callers, Lee from London, asked that we mention Cumberland Falls. It's one of his favorite places and hasn't heard it mentioned yet. He did not want to be on the air, but he was driving through Daniel Boone Forest and thought the cell connection might drop. Come on, what can't we improve the cell service in some of these locations?
He's right. Cumberland Falls State Park is one of the gems of Kentucky, one of the most beautiful places, and I would strongly recommend to listeners, if they haven't been there, to go visit that place. The waterfall, it's one of the couple places on Earth where you can see a moonbow at the right time of the year, which is very impressive if you get to see it.
Lee, thank you for calling and for that question for us and for that comment, actually.
Just a quick comment. The state park covers part of it, but we're trying to still purchase land along the river that finish out that protected area, and it's not done yet, even Cumberland Falls.
This is Eastern Standard. We're talking about the Great Kentucky Outdoors. A few minutes remaining in time for you to be part of the show. If you have a question, a comment, or a story you would like to share, 800-621-8890 would be the most efficient way to interact with us now, because it'll take time to write that email or get your message down to 140 characters for Twitter. But feel free to contact us however you choose, but also get on the phone. I think Julie's picking up a line right now, 800-621-8890. Let me ask you all, Lizzie Watts of Mammoth Cave is on the phone, but Kimberly, Hugh, and Mark, you all work at these wonderful places. What a great place to go to work. Do you get a chance to enjoy them? To what extent do you get a chance to enjoy them? To what extent do you all get, you know, stuck in offices processing paper going, darn it, it's a beautiful day, I need to be outside?
Well, real quickly, I'll just say for 30 years I got paid to run around the woods. Oh. So, yes, I did get to enjoy it. I was very lucky. And now that I serve on the board of the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust and the Pine Mountain Settlement School, I get to lead a lot of hikes, and so, yes, I'm very lucky. I get to get out and enjoy it.
It's just a part of the job. You got to get out there and check it out.
Yes, somebody has to do it.
After 30 years in the business, I've ended up on 6 different boards as well as being the executive director of my land trust, and so that's what I do. I
sit around in meetings?
Well, I live in the car.
How about mine?
And I do land negotiations and board meetings and committee meetings and conference calls. So I'm not getting out as much as I used to. But we are running just next week out of the Pine Mountain Settlement School, one of the best places to visit in Kentucky, a program that's going to Black Mountain, Blanton Forest, Bad Branch, and over the 5 days next week.
Lily Cornett Woods, called, too.
Yeah, it's called The Footsteps of Lucy Braun, one of the main ecologists in history, our Kentucky ecologist. And she went to these places in the 30s when she was inventing the forest ecology system.
And Lizzie Wise, aside from sitting next to the river, do you get a chance to get down into the caves and actually check out the forests on your site?
I do. I've actually... Being an acting superintendent, part of what you have to do is learn the resource pretty quickly, and I've got a great staff that's helped me do that, but it's given me the opportunity to actually get in the cave in many different areas of the cave, and I'm living in the park, so I am pretty spoiled in the fact that after spending time in the office doing budgets and that kind of stuff, I actually can go out and take a hike or go out and sit by the river, so I've been very blessed. Not always the case, but I have been here.
Fascinating. And Kimberly with the Daniel Boone Forest.
My kids pretty much grew up in the forest. I started out working for the Forest Service.
They were
down
raised
on the,
by wolves, right?
Well, you might could say that, but we would go hiking or camping or just out for a picnic almost every weekend when my kids were growing up. But we had this wonderful facility practically in our back door. You know, we could drive 30, 40 minutes and be in some part of the Daniel Boone National Forest. And, you know, that's the thing, because the forest is so widespread across 21 counties there, it literally is in the back door of, you know, a million or more people. And I would encourage people to get out and enjoy that. I mean, it's our land, it's there, it's managed to enjoy. And it's, you know, the Daniel Boone, as well as a lot of other places in Kentucky, but the Daniel Boone just happens to lie in what I think is one of the most scenic places in the country.
Let's get Sam on the line here from Wilmore. Thanks for calling, Sam. You're on the air. Go right ahead, Jess.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to mention the great facility at Cumberland Gap Park and the trails in that system, the Ridge Trail that goes some 20 miles, and then the great historical facility at Hensley Settlement. It's one of my favorite spots in the state.
It is mine, too.
Mm-hmm. Mine, too, actually.
Sam, thank you.
I want to pitch in something we haven't mentioned, and that's since I was a little kid growing up in the Bluegrass Shakertown, it was one of the places you went. It's where you send your friends when they visit. It's where you set up the conference. Shakertown's an incredible resource and a great place to work out of if you stay there. You can go down the Kentucky River Palisades. You can, anyway. And the other one, I guess, is our newest and richest and fastest growing operation in Kentucky, 21st Century Parks around Louisville. After a $100 million plus fundraiser, they're trying to build a loop, a green loop around Louisville. You've got the Olmsted Parks in the inside, and this 21st Century Parks initiative is going to make Louisville a nationally significant green space area.
Also wanted to mention Land Between the Lakes. That's a huge national recreation area in western Kentucky. We haven't really touched that much upon western Kentucky, but the western part of the state also has a lot to offer, and that's another amazing place. So you could visit Kentucky, spend your whole vacation in-state, never have to leave the border, save on gas money, contribute to our local economy, and see some of the most beautiful places in the country.
Let's get Lizzie Watts, a 30-second, maybe a concluding comment from Mammoth Cave.
Well, for Mammoth Cave are all the national park sites, especially in Kentucky, the 5 that are part of our rich heritage. I would just suggest take time. Take time out of your busy day. Go for a hike. Go enjoy your resource. Go sit by a river. And remember, this is the heritage that we protect together as a community for the future generations. So go out and enjoy.
Kimberly Morgan from the Daniel Boone National Forest. 30 seconds.
I know from visitor surveys, scenic driving and wildlife viewing are two of the most popular activities for some of our visitors. So, you know, when it starts cooling off and the leaves begin to turn, come out for a drive and do some wildlife viewing.
You don't have to walk. You don't have to pedal. You don't have to row.
Absolutely, yeah. Just take a drive through the forest.
Well, thank you, Kimberly Morgan of Daniel Boone National Forest, for being with us. Thank you, Lizzie Watts of Mammoth Cave, acting superintendent. Mark Evans, of a board member with the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust, again, in the studio with us, and Hugh Archer with the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust, the executive director, also on the Heritage Conservation Fund Board.
Can I say one final?
10 seconds.
We got a significant cut in our funding for the Heritage Board last austere budget, and if we're going to keep up with the surrounding states, we need to think about those kind of steps.
So it's not, public support is important.
It's not all about just actually being out there enjoying, but there's stuff behind the scenes that has to happen to keep these facilities funded. I'm sure we are going to post links to all of these folks and their facilities on our website. It'll be there by this afternoon sometime when we get the podcast audio online. And, of course, that'll certainly be there when our listeners tune in for the repeat of the broadcast on Sunday evening. Thanks for joining us for Eastern Standard. Richard Turner did production work for this week's program, organizing it as usual. Julie Tennell has been on the phones. Joanice Franklin has been at the controls. For Eastern Standard and WEKU, I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in.